So let's open our Bibles tonight again to Daniel chapter 10. I hope you remember what we discussed last Wednesday night, because we're going to pick right up where we left off last week. And a lot has transpired in a week's time, so I will review for just a second. Last week we read the first half of the chapter, and now tonight I want us to read from verse 10 down to verse 21 to the end of the chapter. And if you'll remember, in the first part of the chapter, I told you that chapter 10, 11, and 12 go together. And chapter 11 is the actual vision. We have not gotten to the vision yet. And it will be explained, but the point that I wanted you to see last week is found in verse 1, when it says that Daniel had this vision, and he was convinced of the vision. It says in verse 1, and the thing was true. So Daniel tells us that this was from God, that it was a vision, and that the vision was true. He said, but the time appointed was long. In other words, the time that was covered in the vision was an extended period of time. All right, and then it says in the last part that he had understanding of the vision. Now, that's key, and that's important that you realize this. All right, so understand that Daniel understood the vision. He got it. When God gave him the vision that we're going to read in chapter 11, we haven't gotten to it yet, but when Daniel received this vision, he understood the vision. You say, well, then what's chapter 10 all about? Well, chapter 10 is all about the fact that he understood the vision. And understanding the vision, he knew that so far as Israel was concerned, his people, as far as Jerusalem was concerned, this vision stated or says that there's going to be a lot of turmoil and a lot of trouble and a lot of fighting, a lot of nations coming against God's people, the Jews. And so he takes the opportunity, seeing and understanding and knowing what's coming, he prays for his people. And that's what this chapter is all about. Daniel praying for his people because he knows what's coming. He knows because he understood the vision. All right, so lest you get confused, in verse 1, he gets the vision. All right, now we're not going to know what that vision is until we read chapter 11. But he got it in verse 1 of chapter 10. And when he got it, he understood it. And that's what drove him to pray for his people. All right, so that's what we looked at last week. And we saw that when he prayed, that the Lord showed up. Remember that? We see in verse 6 that the Lord shows up. And when the Lord showed up in verse 8, it says in the last part of the verse that he retained no strength. In verse 9, it says he fell on his face toward the ground. When the Lord showed up, he just fainted. I mean, and I don't blame him, do you? I mean, if you read the description in verse 6 and understand what he saw and who he saw, you can't blame him for passing out. All right, I probably would too. You would too. All right, now look at verse 10, and let's pick it up here in verse 10, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Daniel says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." So here he's passed out, and then a hand touched him and set him up on his knees. And so he was kind of sitting like a dog, you know, knees and palms of his hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, verse 11, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, Daniel said, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In verse 12, he said, from the first day, all right, that you prayed, your words were heard. But it took 21 days. He said, this angel said, I was 21 days getting to you. And the reason is because in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for that 21 days. He said, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Now, is that not what Daniel told us in verse 1? It is, isn't it? All right, so Daniel understood. Here's this angel now who comes and says that I've come to answer your prayer, to help you. I want you to understand what will befall your people. Now, who are his people? The Jews. And so he said, I've come to help you to understand what's going to befall the Jews. And so that's why he's praying. He is praying for his people. He knows what's coming. He understood the vision. Look at verse 15. It says, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. All right? Now, when he got this from the angel, again, he's speechless. He is just frozen. And verse 16 said, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? As for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. All right, now, folks, I want you to know this is some of the most awesome stuff in the Bible, right? That which is before us tonight. Just tremendous what is happening here. And so I want you to give me your attention tonight, and I'll do my best to explain it to you and help you to see what transpired here. But this is some amazing stuff. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and then the message. Our Father, how thankful we are for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for the things that are in this chapter. What a blessing they are. What an encouragement they are to your people. And Lord, help us as we study it tonight to learn the power of prayer and to learn of your grace and your goodness and to understand Lord, that your word is true and that nothing will will hold it back from being performed exactly as it's written. Lord, not one jot nor tittle of your word will fail. And Daniel is reminded here in this last verse of just how true that statement is. And so, Lord, give us understanding of the Scripture and give us confidence and faith in your ability to perform it. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, last week we started this 10th chapter and we got about halfway through it. And the thing that I pointed out to you, and I'll just say it again, chapter 10 is Daniel's prayer. Chapter 11 is the actual vision that he had. Chapter 12 will be the application of that vision. And so we learned that in the first few chapters that when Cyrus let the children of Israel go so they could return to Jerusalem, many of them went, but some did not. And Daniel was one who did not return. So here he is in the city of Babylon still. Most of the Jews have gone back, and a couple of years have now passed. And Daniel, no doubt, is discouraged. He's lonely, he's, of course, feeble and old, too old and too feeble to return. And so, no doubt, feeling a little lonely and a little discouraged, all of a sudden he gets this vision, and the Lord shows him what will befall his people as they have gone back. And when we look at the 11th chapter, you're going to see that that there's fighting and there is a nation coming against Israel and constant conflict. Remember now, we're in the times of the Gentiles. We're no longer under the theocracy. We are no longer where God is their king and where God is directing and God is blessing. Because of their rejection of the Lord, the Gentiles, God lifted his hand and the people were overtaken by the Gentiles. And so the vision that Daniel's going to get is that just year after year after year, and nation after nation, and king after king, and army after army is just going to keep filtering in to Jerusalem and into Israel, and they're going to remain the servants of men for many, many, many centuries. And this vision that Daniel had grieved him. And so that's why he went to the Lord in prayer. He is basically praying for his people and for God not to forsake them and God not to abandon them and turn his back on them. So he is coming to the Lord with a great burden. Now, the whole point of this chapter is that the Lord hears his prayer. The Lord knows that he is burdened, and the Lord sends the answer. Now, when the answer did not come immediately, Daniel was probably shocked by that. I mean, Daniel is a man of prayer. He is a man who is accustomed to going to the Lord to pray and getting the answer. And so now 3 weeks have passed, and Daniel has no answer. And suddenly in verse 5 and verse 6, as Daniel is praying, and it's 21 days now, all of a sudden the Lord shows up. And the amazing thing that we learn in this chapter is not only did the Lord show up, but Michael showed up as well. Now, Michael is one of the archangels, and Michael is the defender of Israel. He is a powerful angel. Most scholars believe that God, we studied Numbers last year, you remember that? And that numbers mean something whenever there's a 3 in the Bible or a 7 in the Bible or a 6 in the Bible. It means something. All right. Now, God does not tell us specifically how many archangels he has. A lot of scholars believe that he has 3, the number of completion. And although Gabriel is not referred to as an archangel. He is mentioned prominently among the angels, and it is believed that Gabriel is an archangel. Then Michael, of course, who is defender of Israel, he seems to be Israel's primary angel and is constantly watching over the nation, the people of God. And then, of course, the third one would have been Lucifer, the one that was kicked out of heaven for wanting to be like God. And so you would have the three. That makes sense. Whether or not it's biblically accurate, we cannot say, because the Bible does not say. But anyway, Michael is in this chapter. We know the Lord is in this chapter, the Lord Jesus, which would be a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. In verse 5 and 6. And then we also know that that another angel is here, unnamed, who was the one that was carrying the message back to Daniel when he prayed. All right? So the one that was hindered by the prince of Persia in verse 13, so that he could not get the answer to Daniel. All right? So that brings us up to where we were last week. And so the Lord Jesus himself, in a pre-incarnate appearance, shows up. And when the Lord showed up, Daniel fell unconscious. He fell on his face, unconscious, lying flat on his face. Suddenly, an angel reaches down, lifts him up, and then conversation begins between these angels and Daniel. Now, sometimes it's a little unclear as to which angel is speaking. And there is, even in the commentaries that I have read and studied for this, there is even confusion among some of the commentators. Some say that that the Lord Jesus is speaking. Others say that it was the angel, the messenger that was bringing Daniel's prayer. Others say that it is a combination of all the above. And it is a little difficult sometimes to discern. But there is conversation between the angels and Daniel that is taking place here. So let's delve into the chapter, to the remaining part of this chapter now, and let's look at the message of the angel. All right, so look at it, please. In verse 10, this angel, the angel of the Lord comes, And Daniel collapses when he sees it. And so in verse 10, we see the first, point that the angel is making. And that is, he is explaining the delay. He is explaining the delay. Now remember, Daniel got the vision. He understood the vision. Then realizing what was in store for his people, he begins to pray. But 3 weeks pass, he gets no answer. So 3 weeks pass, and now the angel, 3 weeks into his prayer, comes, the angel of the Lord and Michael and this messenger angel, they come, and the delay is explained. Now look at your text, please. In verse 10, it says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent." Now, what he's saying here is, what we have here is this angel explaining to Daniel why there was a delay. You'll notice in verse 12, that the angel assures Daniel that on the very day and at the very moment that he started to pray 21 days ago, his words were heard at the throne of God. Now, what is the angel saying? What is his message? Well, this is telling us, and he is telling us, of the battle that is constantly raging in the realm of the spiritual. Folks, there is a constant warfare and battle going on in the realm of the spiritual. Now, I was thinking about it. You know, there are a number of reasons why we might experience a delay in getting answers to prayer. For example, sometimes we might pray for something, but we're not in the right spiritual condition to receive the answer from God. We're just not where we can get an answer. Our hearts are not where we can receive it. I think also that sometimes, as James said, we ask amiss. We ask amiss. And God withholds the answer to give us time to see for ourselves how wrong our request is. And then I think sometimes there is a delay simply because God intends on using circumstances and natural means to accomplish His purpose, and often it takes time for such results to be brought to pass. But then we also learn from this chapter that sometimes the problem is the great conflict that is going on in the realm of the unseen when it comes to this matter of prayer. Folks, there is a battle that is taking place in the world, in the realm of the unseen, between the forces of good, God, and the forces of evil, the devil. There is a war that is raging between angels and demons, between principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And it's a constant struggle and a constant fight. And see that, look please at and you'll notice what the angel revealed here about Daniel's prayer. First, I want you to notice verse 13. He said that as soon as you prayed, your words were heard. I'm come for thy words. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Now, what is this prince of Persia? Well, there's no way that this is a human being. There's no way that a man could stop an angel. I mean, the angels were created a little lower than the angels. All right. So this prince of Persia is not a man. It is not a government official of Persia. This prince withstood the angel for 21 days, and so this prince had to be or has to be a demon, a demonic angel, a fallen angel, if you will, who is a very powerful member of Satan's hierarchy. Now, don't forget that he was Satan's top demon overseeing the entire Persian Empire for Lucifer. All right, so he's powerful. He is strong and he is mighty. Let me remind you that Paul told us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So the point is that you've got God wanting to bless and God wanting to answer our prayers and to meet our needs and to bless our lives, and then you've got the devil and all of his emissaries that are doing everything in their power to keep us from being encouraged and keep us from being blessed and to keep us as far away from God as they can. And so there is a struggle, there is a battle going on. Now, I've shown you this before, but a lot of new folks, so let me have you turn back to Ezekiel 28. And let me show you this once again, just to illustrate and to show you this battle that is raging. Go back, please, to Ezekiel and chapter 28. And look at verse 1, please. Verse 1, Ezekiel 28, verse 1. Says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Now, Tyrus is a city-state. It's a kingdom, if you will. Say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and because thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a what? Man. All right? God said, you say you're a God. Now, this is the prince of Tyre. And Ezekiel was to take a message to the prince of Tyre. And here's the message. You think you're a God. You think that you're a God. You say, I'm a God, and I sit in the seat of God. But the message to you is, you are not a God, you are a man. You're just a man. And he said, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now, you know, I can understand how people can think that they're deity. I mean, look at the Caesars. Look at Pharaoh. It is not uncommon for someone with a little power and a little authority to think themselves deity and untouchable. All right? But God said that the prince of Tyre, the earthly ruler of Tyre, although he thought he was a god, he was not. He was a man. Now, look please at verse 14. Look at let's go back to 11. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation unto, upon the, now what's that next word? King. All right, now let me ask you, which is higher on the hierarchy or hierarchical totem pole, a king or a prince? The king is higher than the prince, right? All right, so in verse 2, we have the prince of Tyre, and God said, you may think you're a god, but you're not. You are a what? Man. But now look at verse 12. He said, now take up, Ezekiel, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now the prince is a man. I wonder who the king is. Look at your Bible. Thus saith, verse 12, the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. All right, now let me ask you, any of y'all ever been to Eden? No, you haven't, have you? Now, who do we know was in Eden? Adam, Eve, and Satan. All right, now this can't be God because God's the one speaking. All right, so Adam, Eve, and Satan. All right, let's keep reading. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Does that tell you anything about Adam or Eve? No. Does it tell you anything about Satan? A little bit, doesn't it? Okay. Thou art the anointed what? All right, that rules out Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve were humans created in the image of God. All right, so who is the king of Tyre? Satan. The prince of Tyre was a man. The king of Tyre was Satan. That means, dear friend, that there is, let me say it this way. That means that the unseen world runs the affairs of the seen world. Does that make sense to you? George Bush is not the king of America. He is the prince of America. Satan is the king. Mr. Medvedev, or whatever his name is, over in Russia, is not the king of Russia. He is the prince of Russia. Satan is the king in Russia. Let me remind you, Paul said that Satan is the god of this world. He runs this world.
and George Bush and Medvedev and Mr. Chavez down in Venezuela, they're just princes. They're not the kings. They're not the ones running the show. I heard today, of course I knew what I was preaching on, but I heard today on the news as I was going home this evening, I heard President Bush talking to the College of Army, College of the Army or something, and he was making the statement that because of his policies, that America has not been attacked since 9/11, and he was proud of that, and he should be. But he made a statement. He said, "You may disagree with some of my policies." And I thought, ooh. Yeah, I do. And you may not agree with some of my policies. And, you know, he's got a lot of us scratching our head about his policies. He's got a lot of us scratching our head because when he ran for office as a conservative, but yet now that he's been in office, he's been one of the biggest spenders that we've ever had. And we've all sat around going, "I don't get this. What is going on with him?" Folks, may I remind you that there is an unseen world that is running the affairs of the seen world. And I dare say that Mr. George Bush has sat around many a night in the White House scratching his head saying, "Why did I do that?" But what we need to realize is, and what this angel is trying to get Daniel to see, is that there is a plan that is bigger than anything else. That there is a scheme, there is a design, there is a God, there is a devil, and there is a bigger battle going on than just the battle between the big three automakers and the White House. There's a bigger battle going on than just the Taliban against America. There is a bigger battle going on. There is a king who is running the affairs of this world. And the princes of this world are nothing more than pawns that are moved at his will. And that's the answer that the angel gives to Daniel. He is trying to get him to see. Here is Daniel praying 3 weeks, and all of a sudden this angel shows up and says, "Daniel, listen, I tried from the first time you prayed. We had the answer. I tried to get it to you, but I was hindered." What hindered him? This powerful angel, fallen angel, but angel that was overseeing the whole Medo-Persia empire. So you know that he was a powerful angel, a powerful demon, if you will. And he stops him and says, "No, you cannot take the answer." And he stops him from going. And he tries again, and he tries again. For 3 weeks, he tries. Now, what happens? What happens? Look, please, at verse 13, the last part. He said, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." He said, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." Now that's the key phrase, folks. Remember, Daniel understands. Daniel gets it. He's now praying, "Lord, don't let our people in all this conflict that's coming, don't let us be destroyed." And he said, "I am come to help you understand what shall befall your people." And what we get in the remaining part of this chapter is what the angel wants him to understand. I'll point that out to you in a minute. But then he said, verse 15, "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men." You know who that is? That's Jesus again. Now, folks, get this. I don't know how to explain this to you because, to be honest with you, I don't understand it. But as best as I can, here's Daniel, he's praying. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks into it, he lifts his head and boom, there's Jesus. Pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. When he saw him in all his radiant glory. He passes out. This angel, probably, reaches down and shakes him, gets him up on his hands and knees and says, "All right, Daniel, stand up. I got to tell you something." So he stands all the way up and he now explains to him, 21 days ago you prayed. I had your answer. I was coming with it, but this prince of Persia stood in my way. We got into it and I had to go get help. Now, when he explained that to him, Daniel goes, boom, and he falls again. This time, the Lord shakes him. Are you listening?
Yeah.
This time, the Lord shakes him and said, "Daniel, what's the matter with you? Are you going to say anything?" Daniel says in verse 17, "How can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord?" Do you blame him? He stands up. "Daniel, you going to say anything?" "Lord, I'm your servant. How can I say anything to you?" And now all of a sudden he's getting weak-kneed again. And he's about ready to drop. And the angel says, wait a minute. Verse 18, he said, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, 'O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong.'" And when he had spoken, I said, "Okay, that helped me. I'm strong now. What do you got to say?" All right, now watch. You know what I think happened? Here's what I think happened. Now, it's just my opinion. You know, my opinion is just as good as yours. Here's Daniel. He's praying. 3 weeks have passed. From the very day Daniel started to pray, this angel started with the answer. He was hindered. He tried everything he knew. He could not get through. Finally, he goes back to heaven and he says, "Lord, your servant, beloved Daniel, has been down there praying for 3 weeks. I've tried to get the answer. I cannot get through. The prince of Persia is hindering me. He's stopping me, and I can't get the answer there." I think what happened was that when that messenger, that angel, came and told the Lord, I think the Lord looked over and said, "Michael, come on, let's go." And the Lord himself got off the throne, grabbed Michael, and they both came with that angel. There are three of them in this chapter. Nod your heads. You see it? There are three of them in this chapter. And so here's Michael, who is the defender. Michael's out there in the front. And when the prince of Persia saw Michael coming, he bailed out. He bailed out. He don't want anything to do with that. Especially when he could look over Michael's shoulder and see the Lord. And so they come to Daniel with the answer to Daniel's prayer. Does that make sense to you? Folks, I tell you, I've read this chapter so many times I got it memorized. And that's how I see it. And I think that's what's happening here. I think that the purpose for the angel coming is to let Daniel know, or to get Daniel the answer to what's going to happen to his people, and to give him understanding, as it says in verse 14, of those latter days. He's going to reveal those latter days in the next chapter to us. He's already revealed it to Daniel. Daniel knows what's going to happen in those latter days. He knows all the conflict and all the trouble and all the problems that Israel is going to face. And so he's praying about it. And so this angel comes with the answer. The man's old. He's not got long on this life. He has been a faithful servant. And he's praying for his people. He's praying for the people of God. And so the angel comes with the answer. The answer is simple. The answer is simple. Daniel, understand this. I'm going to take care of your people. I'm going to take care of your people. That's basically the message. Look at it. Verse 19, O man greatly beloved, peace be unto thee. Be strong, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And here's what the Lord said. Look at it. The Lord said, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now, what does that mean? All right, watch. Here's what there's. Now, the question is this Michael or is this the Lord? I personally think it's the Lord. I personally think it's the Lord. All right, what's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to go and fight against the prince of Persia. Now, question, who's ruling now? Remember, you had Babylon, and following Babylon was who? Medes and the Persians. All right, so he said, I'm going to go fight the prince of Persia right now. So when he said, fight the prince of Persia, that's present tense. Now, remember the vision? You have Babylon, you have the Medes and the Persians. Who's after them? Greece. All right, so he said, I'm going to go fight Persia, the prince of Persia. When he's gone, who's next? Greece. I'm going to fight that prince. I'm going to fight that one that's ruling and reigning and directing and blessing and helping Greece. So the point is, the angel is saying to Daniel, Daniel, you need not fear. You're here worried about what's going to happen to your people. When you needed me, I came. When you needed help, I came. When you needed strength, I came. Now that you're strengthened and I've answered your prayer, I'm going to go back over here and defend my people. When this kingdom's gone, the next kingdom comes, I'll be fighting for my people. And when that kingdom's gone, I'll be fighting for my people. So it matters not, Daniel. You need not fear. No matter when it is, no matter where it is, you can be assured that I am going to be defending my people. Does that make sense to you? Look at chapter 12. Look at chapter 12. Here's the application, if you will. And in verse 1 it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be what? Delivered. And that's talking about the tribulation period. So the point is, here's Daniel, all right? He's sitting here, and he has this vision, and he looks down the road, and he sees that no matter what time period it is down the road, the Jews have got their hands full. They are in the times of the Gentiles. They are persecuted. They are driven from their land. They are hated in the world. And Daniel, standing here, looks down the road and sees this. And so God, Jesus, comes to him and says, Daniel, I heard your prayer, and I've come with the answer. Yeah, it took a little bit to get here. It took a little bit because the prince of Persia was fighting. But Michael, I brought Michael, and now here we are. Here's your answer. Understand this, Daniel. When I'm going to leave you, I'm going to go fight for you against Persia. I'm going to fight for you when Greece comes along. And then I'm going to fight for you when the Romans come along. And then I'm going to fight for you during the church age. And then I'm going to fight for you during the tribulation period. Daniel, you need not worry. I'm going to be with your people. Now, does that make sense to you? All right. Now, look at this, and we'll close. One more thing. Verse 21. Now remember, I think this is the Lord speaking myself. He said, but I show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Oh, I hate to tell you this. I'm going to give it away. Now I have to come up with a new sermon for Sunday. But I got to tell you this to you. Do you remember when Jesus was born and it says the wise men came from the east? How did they know? How did they know to come and look for a king that would be born in Israel? How did they know that? By the way, they were from the Fertile Crescent. They were from Babylon, the Chaldeans. They were from where Daniel was from. How did they know that there would be a Messiah that would be born? How did they know that? You know how they knew that? Daniel chapter 9. Yes. Daniel's 70 weeks. And they were able to figure it out. They were able to calculate it. They had copies of the writings. They had the book of Daniel. They had Jeremiah. They had Isaiah. They studied the scriptures. And that's how they knew to come looking for the king. The only thing they didn't know was the book of Micah. You say, how do you know they didn't have Micah? Because Micah is the one that told us that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, least among the tribes of Judah. They had, but Micah was not written until well after Daniel. And so they didn't have, and by the way, Micah was written in Israel, not in Babylon. So they had, folks, my point is, plain and simple, God has His truth. And God said, very plain, He said, I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture. Now, He's about to do that by giving Him this 11th chapter. And this 11th chapter is in our Bible. Therefore, it is Scripture. And God's point is, it's truth. And God's point is, Daniel, you need not sit here and be worried because you know what I've told you in the Scripture. And in the Scripture, we see, yes, the Greeks, and yes, we see the Romans, and yes, we see the Messiah being born, and yes, we see the Messiah being cut off, and yes, we see the Messiah being resurrected, and yes, we see the Messiah going back to heaven, and then we see the church age, and then we see the rapture of the church, and then we see the Jews persecuted by the Antichrist, and then we see the Lord coming back and defeating the Antichrist. And His point is, Daniel, listen, you need not be discouraged because My word is truth. And if you'll remember, Daniel, when you get to the end, Jesus rules and the devil is in the lake of fire. So, Daniel, be encouraged. And Daniel said, that strengthened me. And by the way, folks, that ought to strengthen you as well. You're on the winning side. You win and the devil loses. All right? I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. Folks, if you read it in the Bible, it's true. It's true. Hold on just a second. I read this morning. Let's see. Go to Isaiah 40 real quick. Hurry up. It's quarter after. Go to Isaiah 40. All right. This was written about 740 somewhere B.C. All right, by 740 B.C. You with me? This is written a long time ago. A long time ago. Look at verse 22.
Well, let's go back and get 21. He said, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understanding from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the... what? Circle? Can I remind you that about 1492... a couple guys got on a boat and they started across the creek. And you remember that they were afraid that when they got to the horizon they were going to fall off the earth because the earth was flat. That was 400 years ago. 400 years ago. And all you had to do was read the Bible. And you would know that the earth was round. Have you not heard? Has it not? Have you not understood? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. That's amazing, isn't it? The word is true. The word is true. You can trust the word of God. And by the way, most of these scientists that made all these discoveries, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, you know how they first came upon those ideas? They read it in the Bible. And when they read it in the Bible, they stopped thinking the way man thinks and started thinking the way God thinks, and then they came to the answers. So, what a chapter. Isn't that amazing? Mercy. Well, thank the Lord for His Word.